Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Mother of Catechists, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. First of all, thank you for coming. I was hoping somebody would show up. My plan is to speak in about 50 minutes on the contemplative Marian catechists. The purpose will be to, first of all, better understand what we mean by the Marian catechist apostolate in general. And then, within the Marian catechist apostolate, how we distinguish among the active, the contemplative, and what we're now calling the associate Marian catechists. This is still by way of introduction. The language of the Church regarding the apostolate is becoming more clear and definite, especially in modern times. There are two words that are commonly used, especially in the writings of Pope Paul VI and Pope John Paul II. They are evangelization and catechesis. We may distinguish a more general understanding of evangelization and catechesis and a more specific understanding. In the strict sense, evangelization means bringing the gospel to those who have never heard even the name of Christ. Evangelization means, of course, bringing the Evangelium, the gospel, and bringing that gospel to those who never had it. We know, especially under the present Holy Father, are coming to use another word, re-evangelization. For those who have the faith but abandoned it. That is why we are, for example, here in Ann Arbor, speaking about the re-evangelization of America. And it sure needs it. Evangelization, therefore, means bringing the gospel to those who never had the true faith, or re-evangelization, restoring the true faith to those who had it but abandoned what they believed. Catechesis, on the other hand, assumes at the very least that a person has been baptized, because at baptism, already an infancy, at baptism we receive the virtue of faith. No possible instruction. In fact, instruction would do no good unless the person already had the supernatural power of believing, which is a domestic definition of the virtue of faith, the supernatural power to believe. We use both catechesis and catechetics. They can be used interchangeably. In general, catechesis refers to the apostolate of instructing those who already have at least the virtue of faith in baptism. Catechetics rather refers to the method or the pedagogy of catechesis. But the words, as I say, are used interchangeably. In the strict meaning, therefore, we distinguish evangelization from catechesis by saying that evangelization means bringing the gospel to those who've never had it. Catechesis, rather, instructing those who have the faith so they might both understand what they believe and grow in their grasp of what they believe. And remember, we believe with the mind, we believe with the intellect, and therefore growth in the faith means growing in the mental grasp of what is presumably already believed, but we are to develop our virtue of faith. That would be the specific or strict understanding of the difference between evangelization and catechesis. For our purpose, when we speak of the Marian catechists, the word catechist is used more broadly. It includes both evangelization, bringing the gospel to those who never had it, or re-evangelization to those who had the faith but gave it up, and instructing those who have the faith but need to have their faith deepened, clarified, and strengthened. This is still introduction. The Marian catechist apostolate, therefore, is the apostolate of both evangelization in the strict sense and catechesis. It means the apostolate of faith, or the faith apostolate, bringing either the faith originally to those who don't have it, restoring the faith to those who had given it up, or strengthening the faith and deepening the faith of those who are believers indeed, but maybe not much more. After about 7 years of working with the apostate of the Marian catechists, I've come up with three categories of Marian catechists: the active Marian catechists, the contemplative Marian catechists, and the associate Marian catechists. In general, the active Marian catechists are actively, externally involved in the corporate catechetical apostolate. And the word corporate is important because there are corporate catechetical enterprises that the Marian catechists are already engaged in. And all of them have come from the Holy See. Marian catechists are actively engaged in the catechetical apostolate and working together, even on an assigned form of either evangelization in the strict sense or catechesis. The contemplative Marian catechists, he'll say much more because that's the main reason for our meeting, but still by way of introduction, the contemplative Marian catechists may indeed engage in catechetical work. However, as Marian catechists, their focus is rather on the interior life, the spiritual side of catechesis, the catechetics of the soul in union with God in order to obtain grace for the Marian catechetical apostolate. Because all the writing, all the preaching, all the organization, the active Marian catechists would be so much wasted effort unless God's grace is constantly at work. And it is therefore the responsibility mainly of the contemplative Marian catechists to obtain the grace that is needed for the active corporate Marian catechetical apostolate. Then the associate Marian catechists. They are people who do not commit themselves formally to engage in the catechetical apostolic work. However, they are associates because they encourage, they support, including financially support, the work of the Marian catechetical apostolate. For example, my good friend Mr. Goodyear, the Marian catechists had some work to do in Rome last June. Well, you don't get to Rome by, well, stealing a ride on one of the transatlantic airlines. You need the financial resources. Now, Mr. Goodyear, having been duly approached, was happy to cooperate. And after everyone was set to go and the program was organized, he called me up. He said, "Father, can I go too?" "Sure." "Can my boy come with me?" "Sure." "Where will we stay?" "Well," I said, "don't you people dare stay at some plush hotel in Rome." And the Goodyears are not poor people. So I asked the Camaldolese monks in the monastery where I was staying whether they would allow, by way of rare exception, a layman and his son to have the room next door to me. And so it was, just a bare room, one bed. The son slept on the floor. Those are the Marian catechist associates. You get the general drift. I might observe on how the Marian catechist apostolate was formed in the first place. It came from work that I have been doing for the Holy See, now my 23rd year. Work for the Congregation for the Clergy, which congregation has papal jurisdiction over catechetics, religious instruction for everyone below the seminary or university level. The jurisdiction in Rome belongs to the Congregation for the Clergy, whose present prefect is Cardinal Jose Sanchez from the Philippines. So that was one place where the idea for forming the Marianne Catechist came from. Again, it came from another division of the Vatican called the Council for the Family, with which again I've been working. And as Catholic schools in secularized countries like the United States have become less and less Catholic, and almost 80% of our Catholic schools in America have closed the last 25 years, somebody had better teach the children their faith. Who else but the laity? And among the laity, first of all, the parents themselves. That is why this coming June, or by next June, he will have in existence, please God, the National Catholic Home Education Association. At our meeting in Virginia last June, we had 25 states represented, or what is popularly called homeschooling parents. Someone has to teach the parents, train them. So many young parents now are themselves the product of a secularized education. They may still be professed Catholics, but that may be all. Again, as the source for what is now the Marian Catechist Apostolate, the commission for the Universal Catechism of the Catholic Church, with which I have been working. And last month, while I was in Rome, I had a very pleasant conversation with Cardinal Ratzinger on what we're doing. He's 101% behind the Marian Catechetical Apostolate. Again, how the Marian Catechist Apostolate both began and how it is nourished by the Committee for International Eucharistic Congresses. Because one of the responsibilities of the Marian Catechist is to teach the faithful their understanding of the Holy Eucharist. And millions of once believing Catholics no longer believe in the real presence. Somebody had better teach somebody something. And then, finally, the missionaries of charity, especially Mother Teresa, when she was told by the Holy Father some 7 years ago that her sisters were to expand their apostolic work from caring for the poorest of the poor physically to care also for the poorest of the poor spiritually. In other words, to get into catechetics. Except for the Marian Catechist, the 3,000 missionaries of charity of Mother Teresa in 104 countries would not now be under instruction. No way. somebody had to do the work, and there's a lot of work being done. What is the scope of my presentation this morning? Now we are past the introduction. I would like to cover three things which by now you almost know by heart. The three most important questions the mind can ask either itself or someone else. The what, the why, and the how. What is a contemplative Marian catechist? Second, why are there contemplative Marian catechists? And third, how are the contemplative Marian catechists to cooperate in the catechetical apostolate, which I want to insist was ordered by the Holy See? Even more specifically, by the Holy Father. First then, what is a contemplative Marian catechist? I have a short definition that I will briefly explain. Contemplative Marian catechists are Catholic laywomen who, by their lives of prayer, sacrifice, and union with God, cooperate in the extension of Christ's kingdom on earth. Let me repeat. Contemplative Marian catechists are Catholic laywomen who, by their lives of prayer, sacrifice, and union with God, cooperate in the extension of Christ's kingdom on earth. Let me make a few comments about the definition. First of all, they are Catholic laywomen. I might say dedicated Catholic laywomen. And Catholic. They are laywomen. They can be either married, single, widowed, or the term we are using now, separated. Who by their lives of prayer, you see more about this before the present conference is over, but prayer, both vocal and mental prayer, belong to the essence of the life of a contemplative Marian catechist. For some people, maybe through no fault of their own, their lives of prayer are almost exclusively vocal prayer. And God understands vocal prayer is indeed pleasing to God. However, mental prayer must be part of the life of a contemplative Marian catechist. Some time every day should be spent in what we call meditation. Now, there are two kinds of meditation in general. There is meditation which is more reasoned out reflection, where the mind is more active. Then there is mental prayer, popularly called meditation, in which the affections are more active. As a general rule, after 45 years in the priesthood, I have found that men and women differ many ways. Now, the deepest way is interiorly. Their souls are different. And that, in general, men favor what would be discursive mental prayer, thinking in God's presence. One of my favorite definitions of meditation: thinking in the presence of God. With women, however, their affective nature makes, when they pray, as we say, mentally, makes their prayer more volitional, more affective, not so much reasoning in the presence of God, but expressing their love and affection and devotion. Let's be clear. The one form of mental prayer does not exclude the other. That's why the so-called centering prayer is not to be practiced by any contemplative Marian catechist. Am I clear? Zero. No centering prayer. No Thomas Merton. Can I be heard in the back of the room? In other words, even though in general, when women pray mentally, even though the word is used, they pray mentally, yet most women, when they pray mentally, are really praying volitionally. Now, it's a place to go into a long theological analysis of the difference, but I think you sense the difference. Nevertheless, no matter how affective is mental prayer, the mind should be active. When we pray mentally, we don't just use our emotions. I'm not sure there's a verb like this, but I use it. We don't just emote. We think. We have ideas. That is why St. Ignatius' method of prayer is so important. And I strongly recommend rereading, studying St. Ignatius' three methods of prayer. There are three forms of mental prayer, but there's something definite, specific, on which or about which you are then praying mentally. Marian contemplative catechists, therefore, engage in prayer. I'd recommend, at least for the contemplative Marian catechist, even if you just said one short, it's called hour, of the divine office every day. It takes just 10 minutes. The reason why the Holy See has provided the divine office not just in Latin, but in the vernacular. And most priests now say the divine office in the vernacular. I don't, because English is not my mother tongue. My mother tongue is Latin. So I would recommend even getting an abbreviated one volume edition of the divine office. If one short, doesn't last an hour, can last 7 minutes. And even daily, and gradually grow into this practice. The rosary, of course. The Angelus. In case you don't know the Angelus yet, learn it. Who by the lives of prayer sacrifice. What is a contemplative Marian catechist? She is one who lives a life of sacrifice. And the essence of sacrifice is the surrender of something precious out of love for God. The surrender of something precious out of love for God. Now, the most precious possession we have on earth, I hope you've heard this before, is our own. Oh, sweet will. When I talk to men and I ask them, who has a stronger will, men or women? No man I've ever talked to, no married man has any doubt who has a stronger will. And this, by the way, for married women, can be their most difficult sacrifice to make on earth, to surrender their own will, of course, always within the ambit of the divine will, to the will of their husbands. And this is not guesswork. Oh, by the way, thanks for being here. You've got at least one husband to hear these words. I don't think we'd have to canvass for contemplative Marian catechists if enough husbands knew that their wives are to live lives of sacrifice. Whoa. Wonderful, Father. Tell me more. Of prayer, sacrifice, and union with God. Now, the essence of union with God, in one sentence, union with God is conforming my will to the divine will. Period. Close the book. You can close all the books of theology. Once you know that, union with God is conformity of my will to the will of God. And God's will is constantly making demands on our will. Depending on the heights of sanctity to which God is calling us, He determines the degree that His will will be contrary to our will. the lower grades of sanctity may be 4, 5 or so degrees. Higher degrees of sanctity, 40, 50 degrees. And the highest degree of sanctity in God's will is 90 degrees, contrary to our wills. First, you've got to have a mind to recognize it's God's will. I thought it was God's will for me to give a 1-hour lecture in Santa Clara Friday night. So I went to Santa Clara. Then stayed overnight in California. Took what I thought was going to be the noon flight from Santa Clara back to Detroit. There was no Northwest noon flight. Changed the flight, canceled it. I got home shortly before midnight. But then God's will told me, I've got this to prepare. I've got the class to prepare here at Ann Arbor. So I wrote and I wrote and I Xeroxed and I Xeroxed and I finished at 28 after 9, just in time to be picked up to come to Ann Arbor. Union with God is real. And the secret is to love God so much you enjoy doing what you don't like. Did you know that's possible? Oh, well, you've got to be deeply in love with Jesus Christ. And there's one thing that the Contemplative Marian Catechist had better be, is deeply in love with the Son of Mary, who we believe is the Son of the living God. So much for the what. Now the why. Why have the Contemplative Marian Catechists because in order to extend the kingdom of Christ, which is the purpose of the Marian Catechists in general, teaching, preaching, writing books, building schools, you name it, will be only as effective inside the souls of those who are being either evangelized or catechized. The effect will be only in the measure of the one who is in the apostolate is a channel of grace to other people. This is the will of Christ. Christ himself, as we know, he preached. But comparatively, from a short stay on earth, he preached less than 10% of his 33 some years. And even then, during the 3 years of what we call his active ministry, he spent not hours but whole nights in prayer. Even God became man and became man to save a sinful world, and came to proclaim the will of his heavenly Father. Christ did not have to pray. He was the Son of God. He did not practice a life of sacrifice. He did. He lived a life of poverty. In other words, giving up, surrendering. Why do we need, if we're going to have a catechetical apostolate, do we have to have contemplative Marian catechists? Because souls are brought to Christ mainly by his grace. And as we've said before, all the verbalizing is meaningless. I mean this when I say it. I'm really not sure how much good I have done over the years in the by now over 3 million words that I've published. If I've done any good at all, it's not because of those words. It's only because in the measure in which I was united with God. And that is the heart of the contemplative Marian catechesis. Union with God. The more holy we are, the more souls we will bring to the heart of Christ. Why then must there be contemplative Marian catechists? Because in his ordinary providence, God uses human beings as the conduits. I like that word. The conduits of his grace to other people. Holy people bring holiness to others. All the teaching, all the preaching on the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed, on the 10 commandments of the Decalogue, on the 7 sacraments, there will be so much wasted air. That's the one who does the teaching or preaching or writing is united with God. That's a law of the apostolate. Why still? Because contemplative Marian catechists are to remember the grace which this Marian catechetical apostolate requires. There is such a thing as earning grace. That's what merit means. Merere in Latin means to earn, which we have our English words merchandise, market. It's a business. And the more capital you have, well, the better business you can run. Holiness provides the capital. It doesn't even really matter too much how smart you are, what a good speaker you are, how good an administrator you are. does not even matter whether you're illiterate or not. The heart of the contemplative Marian catechist is holiness. To answer the question, why? Because what the church mainly needs is holy people. Main reason for the chaotic condition of a materially developed country like ours is it's almost in inverse proportion. As material prosperity increases, holiness decreases. If there is one frightening statement of the Gospels, and there are many, it is Christ saying, it is very hard for a rich man to enter heaven. And then he goes on. The way that leads to eternal life is narrow. And the original Greek says, and few there are who walk that way. The way, the road that leads to perdition, broad, seven-lane highway, and many there are, says Christ, who walk that way to perdition. We live on faith. We don't know. We don't know how many will be saved. All we do know, however, is that being saved is not easy. And therefore, whatever else the contemplative Marian catechist should look for, it is not an easy life. But don't you dare say that these two words, both beginning with an E, are compatible, that an easy life is an enjoyable life. No! The most unhappy people I've met have been those who have everything in this world. Everything. The multimillionaire in Tarrytown, New York, whose sister told me to try to convert her brother. So I went there, gave a retreat nearby so I could talk to this apostate multimillionaire. To please his sister, he'd meet anybody, including a Jesuit priest. He sat down to talk. He asked me, do you believe in hell? Sure, I believe in hell. So I asked, don't you? No. They tell me nobody gets out of hell. Look, Mr. Detmer, I wouldn't be here on this hot July afternoon talking to you unless I believe it in hell, because unless you convert, you're going to go to hell. Of course, I smiled when I said it. Within 2 years, he died. He died with the sacraments. I conspired to get one of the women working for him. He had a priest. Made his peace with God. He was buried from the church he never attended. Let me tell you, it works. And the more closely we are united with God, I mean it, our Lord, present company accepted, our Lord is going to work miracles. Sure. One more part, the how. And the way we've covered the how in talking about the what and the why. How do the Marian contemplative catechists exercise their apostolate? They exercise their apostolate by growing in the likeness of Christ. And one book I'd like all of you to read, Edward Lean. Edward Lean, L-E-E-N, In the Likeness of Christ. Read it. How do the Marian contemplative catechists advance the apostolate? By becoming more and more like Jesus Christ and more like Christ Mother Mary. Needless to say, no feminists can be, in the wildest imagination, the contemplative Marian catechists. Let me tell you something. Just as we've been saying that holiness and union with God is a channel of grace to everyone whose life we touch, so a life of sin and estrangement of God, better, estrangement from God, sinfulness and estrangement from God is the principal way that people are pulled away from God. It takes sinners to pervert sinners. It takes saints to convert saints. The Imitation of Christ. All of you should have a copy of Thomas Akemba's little book, How Then, in One Declarative Sentence, How Are the Contemplative Marian Catechists to Exercise Their Apostolate? And this summarizes everything. By making their lives here on earth more and more like that of Jesus Christ and like that of His Mother Mary. Mary, as you know, is the perfect model to imitate for the following of Christ. Can you imagine that she just sporadically thought of Christ? He was on her mind always. He was in her heart always. No matter what she was doing it in union with her divine Son. How then are the contemplative Marian catechists to exercise their apostolate? By living as only you women can, living Marian lives. Lord Jesus, we ask you to the merits of your mother to grant the present and future contemplative Marian catechists the grace they need to do your work in today's world, to bring an estranged mankind back to God. Amen. In the name of